Mr. Cheeseman, Reel 26. We're talking about the leisure activities. Did they put on sports programs for you? Boxing matches, this kind of thing?
Yes, that's right, yes. It was boxing matches. Oh, and of course, we got to running around what do you call it on a cruise liner? The weather, you can't call it a weather deck, can you? The promenade deck. It revolves more than what have you. It was a question, really, more of keeping us fit, rather than physically fit, rather than militarily fit, as it were.
Did you receive post, as you say, for example, Freetown, was anything waiting for you? There was no mail coming through to you.
Anyway, this zigzag business of the convoy was very awkward for me because I couldn't quite, because it wasn't sort of a progression zigzag. I'm convinced that we do it back on our own at times. Because the at night time, that North Star, well, of course, now at the bottom of the other dozer was the Southern Cross. It wasn't being, it wasn't staying, you know, anything like it. And of course, the sun was rising, as far as I was concerned, was rising in the west and setting in the east again. Oh, and that was the other one thing. They never altered the tick of the clocks on the ship. All the clocks, of course, naturally, up in the bridge they would have trouble all the time, but in the lounges and what have you, all the clocks were at the Greenwich Mean Time, which of course meant that we were getting up and, you know, as it was getting darker almost, that sort of thing. It was most bamboozling. And of course we really couldn't put our watches right, you know, we were sort of putting them somewhere, except in the Northern Hemisphere anyway. Coming on the sun, I think you know that problem on that one. If you're on local time, if you point the hour hand to the sun, then the angle, bisect the angle between the hour hand and 12 o'clock gives you south. You know, so from that you can rework it back and get somewhere near the right time, as it were. But anyway, so. This business not being able to quite pinpoint which way we were going, I'm supposedly responsible. I never can remember going around the Cape. We may have, of course, gone around it in the dark, but I couldn't say, right, you are today, we're going south, tomorrow we're going east, and the next day we're going north. You know, that's it. And so we did arrive in Durham. But before we get foot ashore there, there's one other thing which was very, very interesting, especially to me, is everyone on board ship in small parties, if they wanted to, were taken on an engine room tour and also the bridge tour. I managed the bridge because I was in the chart room, but the engine room, I most certainly having all that, I was dreaming at the moment.
Were they giving you any talks or lectures to get you ready for where Egypt and its life and so forth?
There was one or two general knowledge talks and things like that, you know, as a means of passing the time away. But as I say, if we were ready, we established all it there.
So you get to Durban, and what was the reception like there?
Now, then, I've heard many, many people say the angel of Durban, or the white angel of Durban, she obviously hadn't started when we went there, because we never saw that. And the only thing I got against that visit to Durban was 4 days, very nice, was that we had a scout on board. Oh, once he opened his mouth, he was from Liverpool, but his skin wasn't black, and he wasn't allowed ashore. It was, I suppose, for his own benefit as well, because by force of habit, he would get in onto trolley buses and what have you, which, you know, whites only, and whatever. So that was only that. But however, we had 4 days ashore. When our group, the three that was in the cabin together, when we stepped ashore, there was a very portly gentleman came up, and in best English tinge with South African, said, we would like to be your hosts for the time we're here, at least for today. My car is over there. Is that a car? It wasn't an old house, but it was, you know. What's the American equivalent of a Rolls Royce?
Chrysler.
But that's it. You know. And we went up there on the heights above Durban, just slightly inland. Huge house, you know, detached house, gardens, servants all over the passage here. We went like royalty, you know. Really was, and we never spent a thing on there, because I know he said, well, I'll come for you again tomorrow, and if you like, I can take you into town and show you around the town, what have you. So that's what we did, and whenever we walked in, I'm sure there was normally passed between them, and we certainly never paid for anything at all, you know. We had a magnificent time. Now, I was very, very, in brackets, in inverted commas, I was very clever. I thought, I must let my life know where I am. Because, as you can imagine, you can't say, I am now in South Africa, in ragged form, of course, you know, I am well, and I enjoy myself, and that's about all you could say, sort of thing. I'm getting sunburned and all that. That's about all you could say to pass the and be sure of passing the sensor. Yeah, well, I'm not going to do that. So what I did, you see, is I bought an old newspaper, wrapped it up, and sent it home. How clever of you, eh? It hasn't got there, of course.
your mail would be censored now, no doubt.
Oh, yes, yes. But as I say, I mean, that would be the first thing that a sensor would think of on newspapers. I thought I'd be so clever. But I must tell you, the last day we were at really, really amusing. We said thank you very much to our host and things like that. So we really ought to have one day by ourselves. And so we said cheerio on the night before the last day. What are we going to do the next day? Now, remember, this is in November, I think, by the time we got there. Oh, yes, it would be, well, on in November, too, by the time we got there. And November, to us in England, is cold, horrible, you know, nowhere would you ever think of going in the sea at South Sea. My goodness, nowhere, nowhere, but hey, how would I want to swim in the sea? You mean in the ocean? Hey, that's a good idea, yeah. So we got our trunks, what have you, spare pair of underpants actually, and towel. And I thought, well, not go in the promenade, just very close to town as well. We go to the far north end of the promenade, where there's not so many people. So we went up there, and said, right, and we stripped off, put our clothes, and what have you, and there. And we dive into the Indian in the middle of November. Can you imagine? That was great. Swimming around the air. I don't know who's talking, but hey, we've got an audience. And there was a couple of people on the beach. You know? So we went back. What have you? We were looking again, there were a few more people that were doing this. Anyway, and a lot of people doing this. Anyway, in the meantime, we got a bit puffed, so we swim back to shore, which we did do. And almost, of course, you stupid men, so once you weren't caught with a shark, why didn't you swim in this, within the shark boom near the top? Oh, you were very, very streetwise.
Did you see any signs of what came to be known as apartheid, and the way that they were treating the coloured people?
Oh yes, that they were walked a few paces behind the whites and things like that. And that last year, we just to say we'd been wrong because we'd been caught. We got on buses and trolley buses and what have you, and there we were, all white. So if there was only one white and there was no white, no black, they wouldn't get on. And so most of them were, whites from blacks at the back. Oh yes, it was there.
And did that strike you as different or odd or unfair?
It struck us as more of a curiosity than anything, but remember the general attitude of everyone those days was not as, what can I say, politically correct as we say as it is today. Oh, I'm horrified now, I quite agree. In fact, I'm a bit horrified in my behaviour when I got an occasion to meet him, but that's come some time after this. But anyway, we set sail again, up, whether it's between Africa and Madagascar or on the east side, I do not know. We never saw them.
We're still in convoy at this point?
Still in convoy, yes. Now, it suddenly became apparent by someone, I suppose, all the padres are in the convoy or something like that. Anyway, it suddenly became apparent that we would be in the desert on December the 25th. So why not have a proper Christmas celebration now on board the Stirling Castle and the rest of the ship? And of course, the old winters were going, so it was decided that we would have our Christmas, I don't know the date, but it was a good while, anyway, before December the 25th. Not many people, they say, I had two Christmas and one year, but anyway, and it was done with splendour. Remember what I said, that the only members of the ship's crew that had been paid off before we came on board were the stewardesses and the dance band leader. The dance band, but we had musicians on board. And the, I'm not saying with, there was a book, there was instruments on board. There was all the rigmarole, costumes and what have you for putting on concert parties or all the theatrical stuff. All that was on board. So, let us have a pantomime. I cannot vouch for this. Well, I'd just like to make it clear, I think she was our slightly major, was Cinderella. But that was, I do remember Cinderella. Now, at Christmas Eve, as I say, our Christmas Eve, we would have carols singing over the intercom. So, I've been friendly with the apparently, anything like that, I was part of the carol singing group in the same style at night, and all the other carols as well, over there. There was a lovely Christmas lunch put on, really magnificent. It wasn't turkey or anything, but it was really special.
Did the officers and NCOs get involved in that?
The officers, the officers came and helped in the serving, as it were. They did very little serving, because we had stewards, of course, but, it was a real slap-up do. It was great. Christmas
it was an emotional time. The first Christmas away from home. Well, not, I don't mean from the army, I mean from your home, and of course your wife left behind.
Well, of course, you see, still no letter from me. So, in the meantime, yes, it was all wrong about then when she had to pack in a job and go back home to train for war work, you see. So I think probably she may have been home, so she'd be amongst her friends and things like that, but how's early getting, I don't know.
Were you writing from the ship to home? Were you able to write things yourself?
But they would never. They would go home. The letters would be posted home at Durham. There was no means at the other place. And when we landed in Suez, you saw our book too. But there was plenty that you could write about, because remember now that we weren't as crafty as we ought to be, and this blue pencil, was putting us off. Couldn't very well turn your heart out knowing that somebody was going to read it to you. So it was pretty. When I say we were not too crafty, I mean afterwards what we would do was write two or three letters. I'm enjoying a day in the sea. Conversation, say anything like that, all the rest, nothing else. And that goes home. A bit later on, as another letter comes, which had been sent to a different officer, by saying that enjoyed a bit of nightlife. And then another letter would say, the Mediterranean was not. Now, put those three together, Anyway, I do remember going through what they called the jaws of death. I aid them on one side and across them, forget the point there, but North Africa on that. And you're going to the jaws of hell, because the Red Sea is very, very hot. And I was a bit disappointed. The Red Sea wasn't any other different colour than the rest of the sea. And we seem to be ages going on that Red Sea. I can't remember.
Did you stop at Aden?
No. That was the only two stops before we. But
what was the heat like? I mean, it was
nearly atrocious. To such an extent that we shut off our, the boats had these air blowers on there, which was pulling the air from up. It was far cooler, and the ship shut them off. It was cooler, that was bringing in furnace blasts, as it were, And the first time we realised we were reaching our destination, I was lying, and it was in the afternoon, lying in my bed with this off, and occasionally we put it on because it would get too hot and whatever, you put it on, turn it off, the stench, stink. The oil refineries at Suez, Port Suez. Then someone told me why it was possible for the Israelites to walk across the bed of the Red Sea. When the ship was maneuvering, because we had to stay out, we were going to the water again. When he was maneuvering, it was churning up the sand. Like, crazy me, everybody says, has he bellied or what have you? I said, oh, no, true. No, he says, they can take a survey of this part of the Red Sea, and it'll be different tomorrow, things like that. And then he said about this, is in fact, I believe that's how the Israelites got across the Red Sea. It wasn't dry land, but they could plunge across it, on occasion. So that was it. And we landed by lantern, of course, as I say, the vessel, and straight on to the our first introduction to the. Palestine and Egyptian state railway.
This is Port Suez. Yes. What was your first impression of Egypt?
Dirty, filthy, smelly, horrible, sandy, gritty.
were you pestered by salesmen or?
Yes. So first we began. In the meantime, of course, when we found our arms, we didn't get. We were sort of forlorn. So that little escapade in Freetown served as well. We were prepared, and prepared. We had to be. I honestly believe that if they put them, put themselves to it, they can engineer pinching your false teeth and opening your mouth. But anyway, as I say, it was a passing method, you know. We were off the key side of various stevedores, all in full work and what have you. We were hustled above the train with full bottom on, of course. You know, a Toby's on. that train, I walked with a little kiddie faster than that train did. In fact, we did. We used to get down off the train and walk alongside it to stretch our legs. We were on 2 full days on that train before we finished up at a place called Amaria. A huge, huge reception camp, which was within, I would say, 10 miles of Alexandria.
You were carrying your own food with you, were you? On the train for 2 days?
Yes.
You should have to eat. Mm. And water, of course.
Water bottle. Mm.
And a packed meal of some kind.
Of course, ship's stuff. It was quite nice. Sandwich, quite nice. Yes, I remember. Mm.
So you got to Amaria?
Got to Amaria, which, as I say, was a huge tented camp. With all the facilities. Not a canteen, and don't speak to me about it, a cinema. Not named the Garrison Cinema, by the way, but they called cinemas and these things. But it was made up of rugs, you know, huge tent over there, which all rugs and what have you. And outside was shaft doors. That's why it sticks in my mind, you know. Shafters from here, said, oh, I'm home again now. But we always used to say, you go to Shafters, meaning you go to the pictures. We had our first meal in Amaria. Tinned everything, you know. Tinned potatoes, of course, there was no such thing as dried potatoes, obviously. You know. Tinned bacon, all that sort of thing. But there we were without our equipment.
Did you, as many people do, still do, as many soldiers did you suffer from the jippy tummy and the...
To begin with, no. I had a charmed life. Oh, yes, there's an awful lot. I did suffer a little bit, you know, and missed 2 or 3 meals. But, not like some of them were really ill.
And someone was... That's right. Some got dysentery, didn't they?
I did get dysentery. I got the full lot.
But not at this point?
No. Got the full lot, eventually. Our boats, of course, that had come up through the Suez Canal, were now in Alexandria Harbour. we fitters were taken in each morning to act as stevedores. They had stevedores there, but excuse me. And get the boat, stuff off the boat, and generally serve it up because lots of stuff was rusted and what have you, been so long on the sea. And I remember 3 occasions on there. I mean, normal things are not worth talking about, is resurrecting tanks and lorries and what have you. And getting the hoods of the lorries back up, you know. So. But one was that I was now beginning to feel dreadfully homesick. Really, I mean, this horrible dump that they'd put in with this. I'd seen clean and bleated rubbish tips in England, you know. And I was really getting homesick. So imagine that when, at the bottom of the gangplank, of the ship that we were going to go on, was an infantryman, and he'd got to be a Durham Light infantry lad. or at least a Northumberland refusal, you've got to be it. Oi, that's a bit of home. What fella then, you know?
Just a blank stare, really.
Who's the gunner on there?
More blank stare, until I saw written across here, France or something, but he was a foreigner, What a disappointment. Oh, dear me. Went up the gangplank, and of course, there's the ship's watchman at the top. Not part of the crew, understand. And that's where I got a whiff of horn. He'd been born and bred in Southfield. He was in his turban or anything like that. Oh, we had a real bit of crack when we got to work. So that's the sort of two of the three things. The other thing, the other thing that sticks in my mind was the utter laziness of the Egyptian stevedore. I remember one that it's just like as if you saw it on the films. Lauren Hardy couldn't have done it better. They did everything to a chant. And there was about five of them on this rope, pulling this rope, which disappeared behind the edge of the building, you see. Now, had I got all my faculties, my brain faculties, right, I would have realised that that rope was loose that they were pulling. But it didn't occur to me, but I was expecting at least a huge pantechnicon being pulled along. I could have put the parcel under the arm that they were pulling. And the final anecdote on those docks was
want to buy a bottle of whiskey?
Honest, have a look. And a bottle of Johnny Walker. And we looked at the seal. It was perfect. Anyway, after a lot of haggling, we swapped a bottle of Johnny Walker for two tins of bully. Actually, I swapped a tin of cold tea. I took tin of coffee. I mean, you take your hat off. It was you couldn't tell that there had been tampering at all. We say, yes.
When you brought the vehicles off the ship and you, as you say, you put them together again, did you drive them down to Amory or did they stay in the dock?
No. They stayed in the dock under guard. Then, I don't know how long it'd be, quite a while. But apparently things weren't going so well with the wave of push by this time. Oh no, beg your pardon, it was going well, but they were running short of tanks and what have you. So we got the SOS to let you all get on the move. So the whole battalion was ambushed to the docks. On the tanks, and off we went up the coast road. Past a place called it's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't mention it. Can't remember. It's El Alamein.
Whilst you were at Amory, and you said you were in tents there, did you suffer from thieving from the natives? Did you have to be careful where you put things?
There was none in the camp. Never saw any in the camp. And by the way, of course, the tents were the tropical tents. There were marquees, not bell tents. And of course they had a fly sheet of waterproofing there, and then of course the quilted underneath. That was the first time we started. Oh, that's right, Amaria. Did you know that Amaria is the starting and ending place of every single sandstorm that there ever was, and that was throughout the entire world. That's the impression you've got. Amory or sandstorm.
And how did you get on with the sandstorm? I mean, how did you actually cope with it?
Actually, in camp, it wasn't so bad, because you could see as far as the next tent and what happened, you know. And of course, when you got out of the tentage part,
onto the tarmac road, by the way. There was the telegraph poles, you know, and they weren't too far apart. Anyway, they left you, went off the road, and you weren't in the way.
You get far worse up the desert when you're in the open.
Oh, no, I can tell the stories that coming.
We'll deal with those later.